FHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Celebrations in Khan Yunis after news Israel and Hamas had agreed to President Trump's peace plan to end the fighting in Gaza and bring the hostages home by Monday. This Palestinian man spoke through an interpreter.
We are very happy that the war has stopped. This is something joyful for us, and we thank everyone who contributed to stop the war and bloodshed.
There is joy in Israel, too. Champagne corks popping in Tel Aviv.
So important for us. We want peace. We want the hostages back.
CBS's Haley Ott is in Tel Aviv.
There are still some more difficult elements of that proposal to be hammered out, like how Hamas will disarm, whether it will agree to step back from Palestinian politics, and who will govern Gaza. But all that will come later.
Prime Minister Netanyahu says his government will approve the plan this morning. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wausau Ethics Board will move forward with their investigation into a complaint against Mayor Doug Dinney. The complaint was filed in January and claimed Dinney's removal of an absentee ballot box last year from City Hall violated the city ethics code. Isabella Nieto reports.
At a meeting last week, the board rejected requests to postpone the hearing again. The hearing is scheduled for this Friday, over a year since Dinney moved the drop box. Board Chair Calvin Dexter said one witness, who was subpoenaed to appear at the Friday hearing, requested to be excused from the hearing because they have plans for the holiday weekend.
I'm not very open to the idea that we should have another delay here. You know, I think it's time to get this thing dealt with.
Dexter says the witness claims they were not given sufficient notice of the hearing.
I mean, that's not to say we couldn't or shouldn't have gotten the new subpoenas out earlier, but I don't think there was any great surprise here to anyone.
Special Counsel Eric Larson confirmed that the mayor's attorney and an attorney who represents city employees scheduled depositions for City Attorney Ann Jacobson and City Clerk Caitlin Bernardi regarding the complaint. Dexter confirmed they still wanted the depositions.
The board appreciates those attorneys proceeding in good faith to accomplish the depositions at long last.
Both Jacobson and Bernardi had previously refused to sit for depositions due to an ongoing criminal investigation into the ballot box removal by the Wisconsin Department of Justice. The board also confirmed the list and order of witnesses that will appear on Friday, including Wausau Police Chief Matt Barnes and City Council President Lisa Rasmussen. The board also plans to deliberate in a closed session on October 15th at 4:30 p.m. before reconvening in an open session to discuss their next steps. I'm Isabella Nieto.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers and Cubs tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it's the Cubs and the Brewers in Game 4 tonight at the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. Chicago beating Milwaukee last night 4-3 after scoring three runs in the first against Brewers starter Quinn Priester.
To be honest, I felt really in control. Just was a bad day. Need to find how to make the adjustment. You know, I think you can say it, you know, even when you're nervous, there's an adjustment to be made.
NBA, the Bucks host the Detroit Pistons in preseason basketball tonight. Giannis asked about that report from ESPN. He wanted out and to be traded to the New York Knicks.
First of all, I haven't read that story. When the season started, I tried to focus on my craft and the team. But yeah, I've said this many times. Like, I want to be in a situation that I can win, and now I'm here. So all the other extra stuff does not matter.
As Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 65 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. Could catch a shower or an isolated thunder shower late tonight. Our low 48 tomorrow, becoming partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
Bengals.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Hawkeyes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, is it normal for a government official to take $50,000 in cash in a fast food bag? Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, Chad, check out this intro. Give a listen to Parker.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. And now, live from Dallas, where they put hot sauce on their hot sauce, and yet they can't understand why it always feels so darn hot down there. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
That all checks out. Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. And that's it for Parker's live introductions here, because I'll be back in Chippewa Falls tomorrow. So,
and the cheering begins.
Taking
now.
On the extra duty, it will be reflected in your paycheck. The extra
will
work
it?
That you went through. To
I do
this.
Charge by the word, you know. So
we don't pay by the word. That's the whole difference there.
Dang.
Charge however you like. Chad Holmes is here from 98.9 WXCO. You got to get yourself one of those live intro readers.
Looks like you're still on mute.
You're muted, by the way. So take yourself off mute there, and then we'll set it all. While he does that, I will tell you that temperatures around the state, still in 30s, a few 40s creeping into western Wisconsin right now. 39 in La Crosse, 34 in the Chippewa Valley, and in Wausau. The warm spot would be 46 degrees down in the Milwaukee area. But yep, Chad joining us from Wausau. Where you got to get one of those live intro guys.
I will say that when, because we all have to go through it, is when those annual employee evaluations go, I think Parker Olson is going to be saying, in terms of when they ask what you've done beyond the call of duty, and it's when Pat Kreitlow's off on his world tours, I step in and I give him the special treatment that he deserves. As I mean, you've been all over the place, haven't you? I mean, weren't you in Tennessee recently?
I was in Nashville last week for Sherry to attend a conference. We're visiting daughters here. The past couple of days have been a string of goodbyes. First to the younger daughter who was down here visiting with her kids, and then the older daughter's kids heading out to go visit their dad. And now the older daughter today, we just said goodbye, and then it's off to the airport. So, yeah, it's been a whirlwind. But, in a nice way. And then life returns very much to normal tomorrow, we hope. And I'm hoping that that normal includes talking about the Brewers. You know, it would be, look, if we have to go to five games, fine. But, boy, would it be nice to beat the Cubs in the division series at Wrigley Field later tonight. Wouldn't that be good?
Yes. Before I talk about that, though, one more quick point about your trips. Are you like me where the first night you're back in your own bed, it's like the greatest feeling in the world? I enjoy traveling, but at the same time, I mean, I just love being in my own bed. And being gone for a while, I imagine you're going to be just like, this is the way it's supposed to be.
I won't have to take ibuprofen first thing, you know, to take care of any little crick in your neck or anything like that. It will be great. Back to the Brewers here. Well, actually, this is so much about the Brewers as about the Milwaukee Braves. On the text line here from Jim in Brookfield. Good morning, Pat. 68 years ago today, I was born in Milwaukee. At the same time, the Milwaukee Braves were playing Game 6 of the World Series in New York against the Yankees. When my mother got to the hospital, the game was playing on the radio, and I was delivered by an intern because the doctor was watching the game on TV at another location. Although the Braves lost Game 6, they won Game 7 the next day for the only Milwaukee Braves World Series crown. Here's hoping the Brewers have some of the magic of the 57 Braves. Jim from Brookfield. Well, Jim, happy 68th birthday to you. That is one of your better birthday stories out there.
My dad was born and was raised in Milwaukee and in the 58 World Series. They were in the World Series both in 57 and 58 against New York. And he actually went to one of the World Series games when he was 13 years old back in 1958. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of folks still remember back in that era. I mean, one of the amazing – you talk about a little stat that maybe just, you know, a little unusual stat is when the Braves were in Milwaukee from 1953 until 1965, they never had a losing season. They never They had winning seasons every single year, and I think that was one of the problems, because when you come in and right from the beginning, they were really good. They were battling for National League pennants right from the very beginning, and then all of a sudden, you're only winning 85, 86, 87 games. People got spoiled, and that was part of the issue. When the Brewers came, it took how many years, because they started in 70. Their first winning season was not until 1978. So it was like it's been the difference.
Set the bar low. Exactly.
Exactly. So it makes this better, because, you know, I think sometimes with the Packers, people are so used to it. I remember, though, and I know you remember, I mean, when I was first growing up, it was the 1970s and 80s.
The Lynn Dickey years, yes.
I love Lynn Dickey. I love those guys. Yep. And I mean, I still have a soft spot because those guys battled because they were always struggling. Right. But people today who grew up, the Parker Olsons of this world, you don't remember anything but great 11. No. When 10 and 11 wins aren't good enough.
Compared to the days when the Badgers, 10 wins would be amazing.
And how about the Badgers in the 70s and the 80s? I mean, our whole weekends were just pain fest every weekend in the fall.
You know,
we'll remember that.
We'll get them next week was always the motto. Yes, exactly. Badgers, by the way, playing at Iowa this weekend. Pregame coverage begins at 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon.
Oh, that's home against Iowa, Pat. It's homecoming.
Is it home? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was Iowa's homecoming. My bad.
I thought Alba was talking about this. I gotta double check. I'm sure he was right.
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Todd Alba's my ultimate sports go-to for references. And then Sunday, you've got the Packers at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. Coverage begins Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. For a 3:25 kickoff. And of course, getting back to the Brewers, they play the Cubs tonight. 7:30 for the pregame. What's that?
Ready.
That's right. And then first pitch a little after 8 o'clock. And yeah, it's gonna be a late game, but hopefully turn out all right. You were talking about your dad being in the stands as a kid, and it reminded me of how little Quinn Priester saw the 2016 World Series with his hometown Cubs. From up in the nosebleed seats, and one day dreamed of pitching in the World Series, or at least the playoffs. And there he was pitching yesterday, but not pitching so good. And how frustrating that is, not just for him, but for those of us who are listening to the game on the radio, to hear the struggles of trying to hit the strike zone. Now, again, I've got no right shoulder left anymore, so I can't throw anything to begin with. But even when I could, the prospect of throwing where these guys are throwing is amazing. So I shouldn't be faulting them too much, but when you got something like yesterday where you're missing pitch after pitch after like I said earlier, I could hear Bob Uecker going ball four, ball eight, ball 12, and then a couple of home runs later, not Quinn Priester's best day. Maybe he wanted to be back in those nosebleed seats.
You know, the thing about this series is if you get through the first inning, the Cubs have nothing.
Yeah.
The last two games, the only time they scored in game two, they scored three in the first, and then nothing the rest of the way. Yesterday, they scored four in the first, nothing the rest of the way. They scored one in the first in the first game, and then the Brewers came back and just whipped them up. But, you know, and I'm sure that you following baseball like you do, it feels like tonight has to be the night. When you have Peralta out there, if you don't get – this is where it's set up, where your best pitcher's out there to close out the series. If you don't get your best pitcher to finish it off, then you're in trouble. I mean, it doesn't mean it's over, but I mean, sure, it would be. Yeah, you don't want to have to go to game five, or again, it might be one of those bullpen games. And you know, you could have those bullpen games when they work, they're brilliant.
Yes, yeah, like, work, like the other day. but again, you had to get through a rough first inning. And
if you have one guy that doesn't have it, that can blow up the entire plan.
But even like Freddy Peralta has given up first inning home runs and then shuts it down after that. And like Sherry was saying, the Brewers always seem to play best when they fall behind. I'm not advocating that Freddy give up another leadoff home run, but if it does, it's not the end of the world. You just can't, like unlike Quinn Priester last night. I mean, once you have that first home run, you got to lock it down after that and say, it's out of my system, but it was not to be. Artist puts on Facebook, good for Chad for remembering the fabulous Milwaukee Braves. I was crushed when they were stolen by Atlanta. It took me a long, long time to embrace another Milwaukee team. And you know, that's the part true. We kind of gloss over is, you know, when these teams leave, like Milwaukee leaving for Seattle, although by that same token, hadn't they left Boston to come to Milwaukee?
But if you go back, again, if you want to go into a rabbit hole of history, the Boston Braves in 1952, I mean, they drew for the entire season somewhere around 300,000.
Oh, my.
I mean, they were just drawing flies. I love history in all forms, but, you know, in baseball history, back in the day, there used to be two teams in Boston. There used to be two teams in Philadelphia. There used to be two teams in St. Louis. Yep. I mean, it was a different world. And I think the Braves coming from Boston, they realized it was a one-team city, and they were not succeeding. But the story of the Milwaukee Braves moving to Atlanta is a negative one. And for the comment, I mean, when the Brewers came, there was still a bad aftertaste. It was 5 years, but they didn't draw very well for a number of years because I think there was still this hangover over being being spurned like that, and, sure. And people don't forget when you get spurned like that. And it took Milwaukee until those Bambi's Bombers to really get people, truly engaged with the Brewers.
Yeah, it truly did. Oh, speaking of your sports history nuggets, when you mentioned two teams in St. Louis, along with the St. Louis Cardinals, there were the St. Louis Browns. And this is one of those great sports game show questions. Who were they, the St. Louis Browns, originally, and who are they now? Do you happen to know those answers?
They originally, one of the original members of the American League were the Milwaukee Brewers.
That's right.
And then they moved to Baltimore and became the Baltimore Orioles, who they are today.
That's it. Look at
so the Baltimore Orioles originally were the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes, they were the original Milwaukee Brewers way, way back in 1901.
Yep.
There you go. how goes the high school football season? Any particular stories you're following?
Right down to the end here, because actually tomorrow, because we do both 11-player and we have the 8-player team, which is Pneumocatholic. 8-player's final regular season game is tomorrow. They actually start the playoffs next week.
Wow.
There's another week of 11-player next week before the playoffs begin, but you have the final game of the regular season tomorrow for 8-player. You don't know it because we haven't had any football weather yet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, last Saturday I did a game. It was a Wausau Easton Merrill Saturday afternoon game. They had timeouts for water breaks because it was too hot.
Oh, man.
In October.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like, what's going on here?
Man.
I mean, it's been crazy. I mean, I mean, I look outside today. It's like blue skies. It finally, as you said, 34, 35 here in Wausau. I mean, it's finally getting a dose of fall, but I mean, 63 and sunny today. I mean, we have just been, it's been insane, the weather.
Yeah, I'm now admitting I was fighting it before, but I'm looking forward to the cool temps. It's already 70 here in Dallas. It's going to be 90 plus again. And I think I've had enough of a dose of my own medicine to say, okay, I'm ready for summer to be done, and let's get some good crisp fall weather in.
Are you tuning in to the Jerry Jones show on the radio?
Most definitely not. I did say yesterday when I was touring the Fort Worth Stockyards the day before. There's a Dallas Cowboys pro shop, kind of like a Packer pro shop in there, and just Dallas uniforms everywhere. And I so wanted to go in there and raise a ruckus, but I thought the better of it. I didn't have my Brewer shirt on that day, so I couldn't at least identify myself as a Wisconsinite that way. Anyway, Chad Holmes, you can catch his morning updates on this fine program through the Civic Media app by tuning in to WXCO out of Wausau. And, of course, for past episodes or current headlines or the weather in that area, tune to WXCO-FM or get there through civicmedia.us. Chad, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, too.
All right. Take care out there. And again, coming up in our next half hour, we will be talking to Joe Specky about some of this week's political headlines around Wisconsin. Live from Dallas, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. For this Wednesday, October 8th, 2025, I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our great friends in the Wisconsin Rapids Parks and Recs Department. We have Dawn DeSarcy with us right now, Recreation Supervisor over there. Dawn, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Always appreciate the time from you and the team over there. Everything you guys put into the community, we greatly appreciate that. And we've got some things to touch on today. We're going to talk about classes to start off, but some changes that have gone on with some of the classes.
Yes. For our gymnastics classes especially, we had some date changes due to our instructor availability. And we are looking for a gymnastics instructor for our winter months, so we can kind of talk about that a little bit too.
So with the changes, I'm sure that people that are signed up are already up to date on those. But going over as far as that, is it going to affect anybody or affect anybody joining currently if they wanted to?
Yes, the dates are all updated in our system, but in the flyer, they are not.
Yeah.
So they have changed since the publication of the flyer. Or the printing of the flyer, I should say. So we just have like our Tumble Bugs, Tumble Tykes, Youth Tumblers, all of those dates are updated on our recreation registration page. Mm-hmm. But I can go through them if you want me to. Otherwise, so for our Tumble Bug, actually for all of the classes, the dates are consistently changed. So the November 7th classes have now switched to November 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th. So they've all switched to Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. Instead of Wednesdays and Fridays, we had kind of a couple days for classes, and now we're just sticking with our Wednesdays because that's when our instructor is available. December 5th, 12th, 17th, and 19th. Right now, we're sticking with the same dates because we do need an instructor. So, little plug there if anybody's interested in teaching our gymnastics classes.
We'll let you know how to get in touch with Dawn before we wrap up the show.
Sounds good. And actually, we've got October 8th, which is today. We have classes starting today. So it's today, next Wednesday, the 22nd and 29th. So that was another change for our gymnastics schedule. So not too many changes, but, you know, it affects quite a few kids because there's a lot of signups for those classes.
And I appreciate updating our audience about it.
Sure. Thank you.
Good to know about that. Any other things we wanted to touch on with the classes and the beginnings of those?
Yeah. So we have got some cozy craft classes that are really fun. We had one last week, which was last Wednesday. It was the wine glasses. So we had like fall and Halloween wine glasses. Super cute. The second, we had a leaf and pine cone window hanging, which I saw the pictures of those, and those turned out super cute. But we still have classes coming up. Tomorrow evening, we have a macrame ghost class.
That sounds fun.
It is so cute. Such a cute thing. We have pictures of those in our flyer.
Yeah, they look really cute.
Yeah. And then we've got events set up on Facebook, too, if you're online. So you can kind of see a bigger image of it. Coming up, we had to actually switch our Peking Ghosts painting class to October 20th. Okay. It was supposed to be this last Monday, but our instructor had an emergency come up. So it is going to be on October 20th. That event was updated on Facebook. So hopefully everybody can see that. It was also updated in our software. And so for registering, it's all current there. We have another wine glass painting class coming up. And that one, everybody gets two glasses to paint. These are the trees, like the snowy trees or snowflakes.
They're so unique, and they can take an ordinary wine glass and make it look so beautiful and special.
Like, they can.
It's such a fun art. I went just prepping for this and everything. I was looking a little bit, and I went down a rabbit hole on it. Like, people come up with some really cool stuff for them.
They do, and I mean, you probably know our instructor, Mary Beth.
Amazing. Mary Beth is amazing.
She is.
She really is.
She is, and she does such a great job of making painting relatively easy for somebody who does not know how to paint.
Yeah, yeah. That was one of the things that I thought was so cool about it is all of these were really cool, really unique, looked like something you could buy in a store, but also didn't look like it was anything like you had to be Picasso to do or something. Like, exactly. It looked pretty good. It looked like fun to be able to do as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing how those turn out. We also have one more class on December 1st, and those are our pretty poor ornaments. And we'll make two of those. Those are really fun. They basically pour the paint inside of them and kind of swirl it around. And it really turns out.
Another nice picture of one of those, too. And you're right. It is so unique. One in a lifetime kind of things are created with that stuff.
For sure. Yeah. So those are our art classes coming up for this fall and into the month of December.
We also wanted to remind everybody about Swim Club. That is coming up. It is right around the corner. Well, you'd already have it going on, I believe, right? A Swim Club, or it's just it's going to be beginning.
Just going to be starting. We had our kickoff meeting on Monday evening, and then our first practice comes up on the 13th, so this coming Monday.
Is there things to know as far as what Swim Club is or for anybody out there that might be interested in it, especially as we're getting into the colder months here, and we'll have more on that in a moment.
Yes.
I know how badly people I can't get to the lake anymore, but I still need my water. I still need to get to water. I need to be able to do this.
Yeah, so this is intended for ages 5 to 18. You don't have to be an awesome swimmer when you join. We do have, I'm sure everybody knows, Miss Marlene, instructor. We have her helping out with the younger kids so that they can really learn how to swim, learn their stroke development, because we really believe that stroke development is super important when you're becoming a competitive swimmer. So there's not really a tryout for the club, but we would like somebody to be able to swim one length of the pool.
Sure.
That's kind of
understandable. Well,
yeah. So between ages 5 and 18, swim one length of the pool. And that is kind of what, what's required of our swimmers. Obviously, they're going to be swimming a whole lot more than that when they get going. But we've got practices set up Monday through Thursday. A little bit shorter time for the ages 10 and under group, and then a little bit longer practice times for the 10 and up. We also have, it's not in our flyer yet because this kind of was discussed after the flyer was complete, but the YMCA is actually offering a strength It's like a dry land strength training a couple times a week for our swimmers.
Oh, so that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's very, very reasonably priced. They want to be able, well, they'll be able to take about 15 kids, and that would be in addition to swim club. So if somebody is on our Kraken club, we did talk about that at Monday at the meeting.
Cool.
And they have that option to join the, you know, do some strength training on the side in addition to practices.
Wisconsin itself, but especially Central Wisconsin, has such a great history of swimming, and whether it's in competition form or just in general and recreation and everything of
loving. You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The 2025 cranberry harvest in Wisconsin is projected to dominate production for the 31st year in a row. Roughly 250 cranberry growers in the Badger State are expected to produce 65% of the global supply this year.
So we're on a cranberry marsh. I will say in Wisconsin, we call them marshes, not bogs.
That's Holly Herline. She's the communications manager for the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. At this time of year, cranberry beds are flooded for what's referred to as a wet harvest. Despite popular belief, cranberries don't grow in water.
You do see lots of water here, but that's also unique to harvest. They are not in water all the time. They're grown on like a woody vine in soil.
Only 5% of the annual cranberry crop is sold as fresh berries. That portion is harvested gently to avoid bruising the fruit. Herline said fresh cranberries are only available in the stores from roughly October to November.
You really can only buy fresh berries around that time frame, so we recommend people to stock up. They freeze really well for a year.
Even though Wisconsin produces more cranberries than anyone else, it's still a relatively small crop compared to others in the state. Herline says different growers harvest in different ways, and equipment is mostly constructed by the growers themselves.
They are a very innovative bunch. They are not just farmers. They are engineers and mechanics and scientists and all the things. So very interesting.
The USDA National Agriculture Statistics Services projects the Wisconsin 2025 cranberry harvest to reach 5.3 million barrels. The cranberry industry is valued at just under $1 billion and employs nearly 4,000 people in the state. Wisconsin agriculture as a whole contributes over $116 billion annually to the state economy. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In 2007, co-hosts of The View, Rosie O'Donnell and Elizabeth Hasselbeck, came to blows on the set. Can't believe I missed that. The skirmish was over an argument about the Iraq War. O'Donnell recently appeared on the Ricky Lee, Tim and Joel podcast and said she feels like the producer set the whole thing up. O'Donnell came to this conclusion when she realized there was a split screen being used for the whole episode. O'Donnell left the show shortly after. Hasselbeck stayed on until 2013. I Play Rocky is a new film about the making of the film Rocky. The Peter Farrelly directed movie is currently in production and has announced that Matt Dillon will play Frank Stallone Sr., Sylvester Stallone's father in real life. The film will tell the story of Sylvester Stallone's struggles as an actor until he wrote Rocky and stuck to his guns while fighting for the chance to play the title character in his own script. Rocky went on to win the Academy Award for Best Picture in 1977. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 65 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. Could catch a shower or an isolated thunder shower late tonight. Our low 48 tomorrow, becoming partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney!
It's on.
And save! Badgers win the shootout.
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn! Badgers finish Michigan!
Badger hockey lives here.
sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the show to make the popcorn pick of the week. Then joining me in studio is children's illustrator Rob Momartz. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
All right, Joe Sopecki is here now, another person who will be up late watching the Brewers take on the Cubs. Again, pregame starts at 7:30 on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. But first, of course, Joe, it being that time of year, you got a football game to coach first.
Sure do. It's homecoming week for Whitnall. Again, it's facing off with Milwaukee Lutheran High School.
Okay. So that late first pitch today, this it works in your favor.
Perfect.
Not just so much perfect for early morning radio hosts, but that's yeah. You know, that's how it goes. We're going to come to the fight over PFAS in just a bit, but let's talk a little about the governor's race first, because of course we've had the news now that Attorney General Josh Call will run for a third term as Attorney General instead and not get into the governor's race. Our own Earl Ingram said he reached out to former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, who confirmed, you know, that he is seriously considering getting into the race. And so we're already seeing reaction pro and con about that. So basically, the candidate field is still not locked down.
No, but it's close.
Yes. Yeah. How do you assess Josh Call's decision, first off, not to run?
This is a deeply, deeply, like, important decision for a family to make. For any individual person to make. And I don't know the ins and outs of Attorney General Call's personal life, but I know that he's got kids who are pretty young. And so that was in the mix, I'm sure. But for those of us in the public who are observers, here's my assessment. There has never in American history been a time when it was more important to have attorneys general who know how to use the law to fight and win and push back against an administration out of Washington, D.C. that is playing fast and loose at best with the rule of law when they are not outright undermining centuries of tradition and legal norms and expectations and standards in this country. And Josh Call has been one of the attorney generals who has been at the forefront of that fight, where states are pushing back in court against overreach from the Trump administration. And so I have nothing but the utmost respect for folks like Josh Call who say, this is really important, and I'm going to stay right here and continue this fight.
Yeah, we put so much focus on the governor's race that it is worth noting that if, for example, Josh Call either lost that race or became the gubernatorial nominee and lost, and let's say, you know, Republicans win the governor's race and the attorney general's post, that has a big impact on, you know, the legal cases that, you know, Wisconsin adds to right now. Josh Call being part of these dozens of lawsuits helps hold the Trump administration accountable.
Yep.
But, you know, a different attorney general comes in and pulls that out, and it just gives Donald Trump that much more power that no president should have.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm really excited about 4 more years as attorney general for Josh Call. He's still a pretty young guy, and I really like saying that because he's my age. And so, you know, in the future, will he look at running for governor again? Probably. I don't know. But I'm damn glad to have him where he is and running to win. I think he is the odds-on heavy favorite to be reelected to another four-year term. And I would sleep better every night knowing that my state's top attorney was Josh Call.
I mean, basically, to run against Josh Call, you have to run as a Donald Trump clone, mm-hmm. and you have to back everything that Trump has done, which makes sense if Tom Tiffany is your gubernatorial nominee, because he, too, there is no daylight between Tom Tiffany and Donald Trump. So Donald Trump's name isn't on the ballot, but everything that Donald Trump has done to this point is going to be on the ballot. And I'm not saying that no Democrat should be overconfident by that, but you're not going to see the danger of an independent moderate Republican on the ballot most likely in these two important races.
Yeah. Are we sure Tom Tiffany won't run for governor and attorney general? I mean, the swamp in Washington has so broken Republican politicians' brains mm-hmm. that you have all kinds of folks doing multiple jobs. Marco Rubio is still the Secretary of State, the National Security Advisor, the National Archivist, and maybe they've given him a fourth job. Sean Duffy is still the Secretary of Transportation and the Administrator of NASA. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, let's not rule anything out. And that's just one sliver of just how ridiculous this administration is conducting itself on a daily basis.
Yeah, and Sean Duffy's still out there making the rounds on basic cable, trying so hard to convince anybody beyond their base that the government shutdown is for some reason the fault of Democrats who do not control the House, do not control the Senate, do not control the White House, and they're working so hard to make that stick. And I don't know, Joe. I mean, you understand better than I do the group of people who are not in the Republican base, not in the Democratic base, and they frankly don't watch a lot of news at all. So I do wonder how many of those folks hear all that constant drumbeat and go, yeah, this probably is a Democratic shutdown. I hope the number is small.
It is smaller than the people who say Republicans can't govern their way, you know, into operating a two-car parade right now. Mm-hmm. Now, are there the group of voters that Democrats need to be worried about are those who blame both parties. People who are so frustrated and fed up with a Washington that doesn't work for them, and at moments like this, looks like it can't work at all, and they say they're all to blame, screw both parties, and then trust further erodes, right? Those are the sort of double negatives or double haters. We spent some time talking about these during the Joe Biden, Donald Trump elections when you had, you know, voters who viewed each candidate unfavorably, and the way that those votes shook out was going to be determinative. There are millions of Americans who are double haters of both Democrats and Republicans right now. And the job for those of us with platforms is to make the case. Democrats are making a principled case here. They know they don't have a lot of power. They've got just the tiniest little bit. But they're choosing to use that power to make sure your healthcare costs don't double or triple next year. And they believe that's worth fighting for. Republicans are saying, no way, no how, we don't care. And they're the ones who are starting to crack. When even Marjorie Taylor Greene, God bless her, is out there saying, the Republicans don't have a solution to this. This is crazy. People's healthcare costs are going to double or triple. We have to do something. I think that's a sign that Democrats are fighting for the right thing and are going to get a victory here.
Cassandra puts on YouTube, I think that's why the guy running for Senate in Maine, I forget his name, is getting so much traction. He speaks like a real person and he speaks to the disillusioned. And there is a lot of that out there where people just want something genuine. And I feel like there's something not very genuine in trying to convince Americans that the $1 trillion you're cutting from Medicaid was somehow all going to undocumented immigrants. I mean, it has become such a boogeyman, frankly, a crutch to the Republicans at this point.
It's not a crutch. It's not a boogeyman. It's a flat out lie.
Yeah.
You need a Social Security number to qualify and receive Affordable Care Act tax credits through Obamacare. You know how we know that? The IRS administers the program. The Trump administration controls the IRS right now. If they want to step up, you know, enforcement or have more agents dedicated to rooting out fraud, waste, and abuse and bad actors who might be trying to game the system, great, let's do it. But that's a problem for Republicans because they're the ones who objected so strenuously to Joe Biden hiring 70,000 more IRS agents to make sure rich people were paying their taxes and folks weren't trying to cheat on their taxes. The very thought of that, but oh my God, 70,000 more IRS agents to make sure the federal government gets what, you know, the amount of taxation it should is? No, that was a non-starter for them. But hire tens of thousands of more ICE agents to deploy to American cities to shoot pastors in the head with pepper balls, fire upon, you know, citizens in their vehicles, rappel out of Black Hawk helicopters onto the roofs of a five-story apartment building in Chicago so you can zip-tie children in the street for hours at night who are American citizens, that's a government power and a government hiring spree that they're interested in. But hire more IRS agents to just make sure that the law is being followed, which says no undocumented immigrant is going to get an advanced premium tax credit under the Affordable Care Act? No way. We could never. We're just going to say the Democrats want to give free health care to illegals. It's nonsense.
Talking to Joseph Pecky here, and I took note of an op-ed column in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning from Lee Rosch, who has, you know, run for Congress before from the 3rd Congressional District. He was a longtime head at the Technical College in La Crosse, and he's now working with one of the independent groups that tries to bridge political divides in this country. And he talks all about the divides that we're feeling right now and is making this appeal to, you know, ordinary Americans that you don't need to be rabidly Democratic or Republican, but the other thing you can't do is you can't just be silent in the face of all of this. You have to point out to people that we actually do like to compromise. We do like to get along with each other. In other words, Joe, he's making that case again for that normal American to not just simply say, what are you going to do?
Yeah. And listen, we talked about this around the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. Debate and disagreement were baked into the founding of this country. We're not supposed to agree on everything. But what we are supposed to agree on is the right to disagree, the right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, even if you see the world slightly differently than I do. We have to recognize the rule of law and that justice matters and justice is supposed to be blind. And so that value makes it patently un-American when Donald Trump tries to jail his political enemies, when lawyer after lawyer after lawyer says, James Comey is not going to be found guilty on this. We can barely reach probable cause, much less beyond a reasonable doubt.
And look, I just feel like if you're going to write a story about Donald Trump wanting to jail the Chicago mayor and the Illinois governor, the very next sentence you have to put in that story about Donald Trump is Trump, a convicted felon, you know, or something along those lines, because that's the actual criminal that we have out here. We're talking to Joseph Pecky, and when we come back, we're going to talk about things going on in the legislature, especially PFAS chemical contamination in our drinking water. If anything should be bipartisan, it is that. And I'm not sure if they're getting closer to an agreement or not, but we'll cover that. We'll talk a little bit more about the Brewers-Cubs playing tonight and more when we wrap things up on a Thursday. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Building confidence and changing lives every day. The SWC YMCA is here for your family, located in the heart of Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome fall with a splash by attending the group swimming lessons provided for all ages. It might be cool outside, but it's always warm inside the pool. Go online today at www.swcymca.org for class information and sign up. The SWC YMCA is here for all ages, from youth to silver sneakers, where a healthy way of living is everything the YMCA supports. Come start your health journey together.
It's that time of year where things go bump in the night. Ghosts and ghouls and goblins are spotted roaming the foggy late-night landscape, preparing for Halloween. Coming soon, there will be tricks and treats, costumes and fun. But remember, there's only one thing more scary and disturbing than vampires, witches, or even clowns. The most frightening thing of all, an old, rickety, dark and dirty porta-potty. Don't let the thought of a porta-potty frighten you. Crockett Septic has a huge inventory of porta-potties available for events, parties, and promotions, and they're always clean and comfortable. Stay away from those nasty porta-coffins and call Crockett Septic for a porta-potty experience that won't scare the well, you know, out of you. From Rome to Rudolph in Junction City, Grand Rapids, and Nakusa, all the way to Point and Plover, Crockett Septic can handle your porta-potty needs, holding tanks and septic pumping too. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456.
Hey, Mom, can I go out with my friends?
You're getting sick again? You need to stay home and rest.
Okay.
I know I can't get sick again. Oh, what? Oh, it was only a dream. I'm heading to Family Natural Foods first thing in the morning.
Family Natural Foods is there for your family with elderberry immune support from Terry Naturally. Protect yourself and don't miss another day with help from Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids.
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. And right now, for a limited time, you can upgrade your bathroom for 50% off installation or choose 18 months with no interest and no payments. But you need to call now. This special offer is only available by calling 800-329-4115. That's 800-329-4115. Call 800-329-4115 right now before the offer ends.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll have Mike Lemons telling us all about the Brewers game tonight with the Cubs. We'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly on our Week in Review panel of Mark Jacob, Jennifer Scholze, and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. All that and much more coming up on the Friday edition. Hopefully back home and live from the Lake Wissota studios. Joe Specky is with us now. And I want to start first by saying I don't think the Wisconsin Examiner has a bigger cheerleader than me. I love all the work that Ruth Conniff and Henry Redman and all the team does. So when I'm picking on the wording of this story, it is more about the political framing of it and not so much the journalism of it, Joe. But the headline is Wisconsin legislature tries again to reach a PFAS compromise. And it talks about trying to still get money out the door. $125 million that was set aside more than 2 years ago. And the deal is the story is all about finding a deal between Republicans and Democrats who had dug in over their positions and could not agree on how to hold people responsible for PFAS contamination. And my only problem with that, Joe, is that it wasn't so much the failure to reach a compromise. It was a case of, you know, one side wanted to help protect corporate polluters and one did not want taxpayers on the hook for all of that.
I think it, so I love the Wisconsin Examiner. I'm going to have their back a little bit here. I think there's only one word I take issue with, which is in the headline, the word compromise.
Yeah.
This is not right. This is not a, there's a left position, there's a right position, and we have to find some place in the middle. What that story is about, and when you read the story, you kind of get to understand, like, this is pretty complicated, right? There are folks who were given DNR permits and formal approvals from government entities to do things like treat their own land if they're farmers.
Right.
And we don't want those people to, you know, to be hammered with millions of dollars when they did everything by the book and were told you can go ahead and do this. So it's not about compromise. What it's about is finding a way to implement a policy that holds bad actors accountable, but doesn't bankrupt people who are trying to do the right thing and were told this is safe and you can go forward and do this. Right. And, you know, now, again, words matter. That's not a compromise. That's finding a way to implement something that everybody, we, you know, 80% plus of people would go, yeah, if big, bad, you know, chemical producers knew that this stuff was harmful and they went ahead and spread it anyways, and now it's running off into our wells, they need to be held accountable. And this is part of the reason people are so frustrated. It's like everybody in government agrees that this has to be done. So figure it out. Get in a room and figure it out and stop playing around and trying to find loopholes that allow big corporations off the hook when they're the ones who caused the problems that now Joe and Jane Main Street are dealing with in Western Wisconsin or North Central Wisconsin or Northern Wisconsin, where they can't even trust the water coming out of the tap and they've got to go buy bottled water, which also has microplastics in it.
Yeah.
Like, this is madness. So get in a room and figure it out.
And that should be easy. And it would be easier if people like Republican State Senator Eric Wimberger of Green Bay would stop spending their time writing press releases bashing Governor Tony Evers and stop appearing like you're carrying water for Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce and actually work with them on these exemptions that exempt people, like you said, like farmers who have been spreading this industrial sludge, you know, with permits, without knowing that the chemicals that were in there have PFAS. And as Henry Redmond points out in the article so well, these exemptions can't be so vague that paper mills and other corporations can't hide behind them. And he quotes Christine Seeger, director of the DNR's Remediation Bureau, who says, "We're just asking you to understand that the way you word an exemption is going to matter. I implement the spill law all day, every day, and I can tell you, people are crafty when it comes to getting out of liability. They will come up with all sorts of ways for how they can get themselves off the hook. And I just don't want you to help them do that. Let's make sure they can take care of our people and clean up the mess that we've made." That is such a succinct way of putting, when Republicans, Joe, talk all the time about, oh, regulation, regulation, we got to get rid of all this regulation. No, a lot of times the word regulation should be replaced with the word protections. And we need environmental protections. And that's exactly what that quote gets at.
Yeah, just rules of the road. And so I think it's really important reporting from the Wisconsin Examiner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nobody bats a thousand, especially not the Brewers with runners in scoring position yesterday. So, you know, we'll give them a pass. We love the work they do. We want them to keep at it.
Yep. Yeah. And look, if that's where the compromise is reached, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure that this compromise is coming from people who are not equidistant apart. Let's put it that way. All right. We got just about a minute left here. So I got to ask where you think things are going with the Brewers. You've noted some of the weaknesses that they had in yesterday's game. Can they pull it together and clinch this thing in Wrigley, or do we have to bite our nails for a game 5 Saturday at American Family Field?
I think so. We saw the heart of this team yesterday. It's real easy when you're up 2 games and you know you got another home game coming to, after a big first inning from the Cubs, just kind of pack it in. But these kids don't quit. Right? They know they're not out of any game. And so to battle back, you know, one run at a time, and then to load the bases in the 8th and get that close to tying or going ahead, like, this is a really special team And I'm having fun. I know lots of folks are. And let's get a W tonight and keep the fun going.
Yeah. I will say again, I feel like I've got a good head on my shoulders about this, that they are very capable of going to the World Series. They're very capable of winning. And yet, if they don't, there's taking nothing away from their skill and acknowledging their youth. And that, you know, this is a team that will get better and will get more experience because they've got a one heck of a manager helping them get to that point. All right, Joseph Pecky, we'll go through all this together, and we will talk next week, hopefully, about an NLCS series. We will see. Have a great day.
Can't wait. You too.
All right. Thanks very much. Thanks to all of you for being part of today as well. And I will hopefully see you tomorrow morning back in Chippewa Falls. Have a great day.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Israel and Hamas have agreed to a pause in fighting and a hostage prisoner exchange. Celebrations in southern Gaza abound over that newly agreed to peace plan from President Trump. Omar Awadallah is Assistant Manager of Foreign Affairs in the West Bank.
We're thinking that this is the right step toward the right direction. So we believe it is important now to stop immediately the war in Gaza.
Israelis like this woman in Tel Aviv are hopeful.
It's such a good feeling, and I really hope it will happen. I mean, until it will not happen, it will not happen. But we are very excited.
Reporter Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem.
Once Israel signs the deal, Hamas has agreed to free all remaining 48 hostages, both alive and dead, within 72 hours.
If all goes as planned, President Trump says he'll consider a visit to the Middle East this weekend. CBS News.